Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us pray. We thank you, we bless you, we grateful in name. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the opportunity to sit at your feet, to learn of you. We pray that, Father, you prepare our hearts and let our hearts incline to your word. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Beloved the Lord, we are looking at the theme for this month. Praise and worship. And a transformed life. Praise and worship and a transformed life. And we're looking at a very popular narrative from the Acts of the Apostles. Acts chapter 16:16-34. It's a popular narrative. So we got to use Acts 16:16-34 to seek the face of the Lord. A proper narrative talks about Paul and Silas. The Lord took them to Philippi to minister there. And we were told that as they were ministering, there was this slave girl being used to make money. So she was attacked by a demonic spirit, and the owners were using her to make money, and were told that when she saw Paul and Silas, she started screaming, "Hey, these are the people of God, these are men of God, these are people of Christ." So they were making noise. She was making noise, and Paul has to shut the spirit or the demonic up. And we're told that this made the owners furious because their livelihood has been taken away from them. So they accused the two apostles and they were put into prison. They were told that whilst in prison, they sang hymns, songs, praises. And something miraculous happened. It thundered, and the chains fell off from the prisoners. All the prison gates were opened. So the jailer thought they've escaped, and the jailer was about to kill himself. And Paul shouted, "We are all here." And we're told that through that, he gave his life to the Lord. The whole family was baptized. So, in a nutshell, that is what the scripture reading is all about. From Acts of the Apostles 16:16-34. And last week we looked at 16:16-24. Prison, a place of misery. Prison, a place of misery. And so we looked at, you know, the pains that they endured. These two apostles went through hell, but through that, they saw the need to praise God and to glorify his name. We also talked about prison, a place of accusation. They were accused. They were falsely accused. But they never insulted anyone. They never cursed anyone. Instead, they praise God and they worship God. We also talked about prison, a place of accommodation. They were thrown into a dungeon. An unpleasant place. But they sang hymns, praise to the glory of God. And that brought about a great transformation, a great transformation. And therefore, the theme for this month and obviously, praise and worship will transform life. We're going to continue from verses 25 to 28. Praising a place of ministry. Praising a place of ministry. So verse 25a talks about praising a place of personal ministry. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. So about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. Prison, a place of ministry. Prison, a place of personal ministry. Personal ministry. Beloved the Lord, when Paul and Silas found themselves in the prison, and for them, but then the prison experience, they were hurting, humiliated, and in need of some encouragement. After all, they had followed the Lord to Philippi. And now they are sitting chained in a cruel Roman prison. In their hour of need, they could turn for help. They turn to the only source of help. The only source of help available for them. They turn to God and lifted their hearts to Him in praise and worship. So in their need for assistance, someone to come to their aid, they turn to God. And I believe they sang one of the beautiful hymns. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Beloved, in their state of predicament, they did not resort to the green bottle. They did not resort to Guinness power. They did not resort to whiskey brandy. They called upon God. They sang hymns of praise. Beloved, you know, it happens. It just happens in life. When we are faced with trials, when we are faced with troubles, tribulations, we think, no, the green bottle is the last resort. It's the remedy. You take it fine. But the following morning, you find yourself in the same state of predicament. Some talk about Guinness. There's power in Guinness. There's no power in Guinness. There's power in song ministration, praise and worship. You know, I always say this. When we were growing up, when we were growing up, 53 years now, when we were growing up, we talk about whiskey and brandy. We saw our fathers and our grandfathers, you know, taking whiskey and brandy. And even in thoughts. But what is happening today? You attend functions and the hard liquor table. You see the youth clamoring there, doing justice to the drinks. And I ask myself, hey, what are they doing to themselves? God, what are they doing to themselves? Damaging their kidneys, their liver. And they will grow old prematurely. They will not take the Guinness, even they will not take the beer. They hardly go. The youth. I don't know what it is. It's a fashion. I don't know. The devil is out there to destroy. And we need to stand firm. And do you know what is going on now? Couples, innocent souls, who don't even know how to drink wine. They've not taken on to alcohol. Why? No, because of the adverts going on the television and the Joy Daddy Beaters. No, who do all sort of things to you. If you are praying for the fruit of the womb, and if you take it, it will lubricate the system and all these things. And couples who are desperate to have babies, they go in for this joy baby, and they become drunkards. It's sad. It's sad. The point we are making here is that in times of trials, in times of troubles, in times of difficulty, trees and stones cannot save you. The green bottles will never save you. The brandy, the cabochon, will never save you. The power of praise and worship. Power. There is power in praise and worship. That can save you. Beloved and Lord, that can save you. Paul and Silas, they are telling us something that we need to take serious. These things will take you halfway. You go after fish and stones, they will take you halfway. They will leave you halfway, and your life will be miserable than before. Songs of praise. Praise and worship. Calling upon Yahweh. You are calling upon the finisher and perfecter of our faith. You are calling upon the Alpha and the Omega. He will not leave you halfway. He will take you through successfully. You know, in one of the parishes that I served, this young lady, very active, a member of the lay readers, a prayer warrior, a member of the evangelism group, very active, and I admire this lady so much, very active, very committed. So she came to me and said, Father, this is what I've decided to do, to sell cosmetics. So I said, oh, fine. Well, let's pray. So we prayed, and then through the help of his senior brother, he was able to get some items from Dubai and then all the other places. So he started selling. And you know the way, normally, the way it is, cosmetic sellers go at one place and then they have to another. So she was there. But the sales turnover wasn't encouraging. The sales turnover wasn't encouraging. So she was talking to somebody. No, that kid, that is not encouraging. And the best thing, the friend told her, do you think these people sitting there, they're just sitting there for nothing? You must fortify yourself. You must fortify yourself. If not, you will not make any headway. So, out of desperation, she came testifying to me as a spiritual father. So someone just directed her to Benin, somewhere in Benin. You go and then you... So she went. So she was telling me this. So she went. And they gave her some concoction. And they said she should not open it. She should open 7 a.m. the following day. 7 a.m. So she brought the concoction home. She said around 5:15, the senior brother called her from Dazoman. So can you come? I want to discuss something. Something important with you. So, can we make it tomorrow? The senior brother said, come. I will not take much of your time. You come. So reluctantly, she hurried up there. She said she left Dansoman around 6:15. But lo and behold, she got home around 7:15. She was so angry. Said, Father, I was so angry. I was furious. Have you spent all these monies? So said, well, let me open this in a drink, whatever happens. So as soon as she opened it, a big serpent just came out of it and vanished in thin air. To thin air. Big snake. So she said, no, I have to find out. So she started finding out. They said, oh, that's very true. If you had drunk this concoction, that horrible creature will be having buried inside you. And once every week, it will come out of you. And you feed it with one egg, an egg, every week. And that is how your sales turnover will. So I said, thank God. The Lord loves you so much that he has, what are we craving for in life? You are in difficulty. You don't know where to turn to. Business is not booming. You don't know where to turn to. A some Christian. Not to run after trees and stones. I said, the Lord loves you. And you have been given a second chance. Beloved the Lord, we worry ourselves over nothing. Over nothing. Look at the prison life of these two apostles. The prison life, what they went through. But in all these, praise, the power of praise and worship. Invoking God, invoking the Lord to lead them and to direct them. Beloved the Lord, the answer is in Jesus and in Jesus alone. The answer is in Jesus and in Jesus alone. In our state of predicament, beloved the Lord, let us resort to praise and worship. Paul and Silas knew something that so many Christians never get a hand on. They knew the best place to find the help of a friend in a different situation. And that is to turn to the throne of grace. To turn to the throne of grace. To turn to the throne of grace. To turn to that wonderful friend. That wonderful friend, the friend of sinners. So the hymn says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God. Beloved the Lord, Paul and Silas, they have a friend who cares deeply about them. So Hebrews 4, that popular narrative, Hebrews 4:15-16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. We have an high priest. Again, the popular scripture reading. The heavens telephone. You dial telephone number 333. Jeremiah 33 verse 3. Call to me and I will answer you. And tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. And then one of the lovely passages, 1 John. 1 John chapter 5:14-15. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And it talks about, no, if we pray, he hears us. It says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if you know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. So if you know all this, and trials come, tribulations come, problems come, where do you resort? After facing stones, things that will destroy, things that will destroy the body. Paul and Silas, they are telling us something this evening. Beloved Lord, you find yourself locked away in a prison this evening. Locked away in prison this evening. You can always find a friend. You can always find a friend who cares and who is available to help you. Learn to lean on him. Learn to lean on him in prayer, and your prison will be transformed. Again, the same verse 25a, Acts 16:25a, it talks about a place of profound ministry. A place of profound ministry. Beloved, as they prayed, their prison was transformed from a place of pain into a place of praise. Paul and Silas began to sing songs of praise unto the Lord. And I believe that they sang one of the songs we like most. Praising the Lord always. Praising the Lord always. Praising the Lord with all your heart. Praising the Lord with all your heart always. Yes, God is good. Yes, God is good. Yes, God is good. Is good for me. Yes, God is good. Yes, God is good. Yes. I believe that they sang a wonderful song like this. We can be sure that they did not sing Jama songs. They did not sing Kasachi songs. They did not sing Kolomashi, Azonjo. You know, and that's the reason why I'm very particular. I'm very, very particular when it comes to wedding ceremonies. I've said this thing here before. When it comes to wedding ceremonies, you know, them and the couples will come. Oh, so for, we have somebody to sing solo, to sing a solo before the sermon. And I'll ask you, what solo? What song? And I believe on two occasions, these couples came and they said, oh, so for, no, I said, what is the title of the song? And I said, this is secular. You cannot sing this in a Calvary church. This is secular. Hey, why are you people importing things from? Why? This is secular music. You can sing that at the reception grounds, but not here. No. And I believe, I quite remember one funeral here, and I forgot to find out the song that we said, the song before sermon, one funeral. So, just before the sermon, just before. And I called one of the children and I said, hey, who is going to sing the song? He said, this lady. I said, come. So I said, what song are you going to sing? I said, hey, here, in the courage. No. He said, Osofo, what? Change the song. Osofo, this is what I prepared. I said, then go and sit down. We call it him. He's coming to sing this song here. You know, beloved Lord, we don't know the power of praise and worship. We don't know the power in song ministration. A place consecrated, set aside for worship. A place where we use strong ministration to heal souls. A place where we use hymns to encourage, to energize. You come and stand here and sing some yama yama song. No, we have to be very careful. So in Ephesians 5, in Ephesians 5, 18 to 20, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, Paul and Silas were in a terrible predicament. They have been serving the Lord faithfully. They followed him even when his will did not make sense to them. Now they are in prison because they did the right thing. Because they did the right thing. They are in prison because they have been lied about. They are in prison, wounded, bleeding, and chained. Yet they are filled with the praises of the Lord. They have learned the profound truth. They have learned the profound truth of Job, as recorded in Job chapter 35, verse 10. But no one says, "Where is God, my Maker, who gives songs in the night?" He gives songs in the night. And Psalm 42, verse 8. Psalm 42, verse 8. Day by day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Charles Spurgeon once said that any fool can sing in a day. It is easier to sing when one can read the notes by daylight. But a skillful singer is he who can sing when there is not a ray of light to read by. Songs in the night come only from God. They are not in the power of men. Unquote. They are not in the power of men. And these two disciples, two apostles, were singing in the night. Beloved Lord, when we find ourselves in one of the bitter prisons of life, and we turn to the Lord for the help we need to make us go through that prison life, turn to God. He will turn our sorrows into song. Turn to God. He can turn our trials into testimony. Turn to God. He can turn our pain into praise. He can turn a time of profound headache and transform it up into a time of great help. Hallelujah. That is the God we serve. That is the God Paul and Silas served. I pray that may God help us. May God help us to do as many of the great saints of God have done. May he help us to have a song in the midnight hour. May he help us to be like Job, as recorded in Job 1, 20 and 21, another popular narrative. At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Even in that predicament, in that state of worry, hopelessness, he says, "May the name of the Lord be praised." We can also be like Paul, as recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 and 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 and 10. "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" We move on to 25b. So the same Acts of the Apostles 16:25b, it is loaded with spiritual truth. Prison, a place of powerful ministry. We were told that, and the prisoners heard them. As they were singing, the other prisoners heard them. The phrase means that, that's heard them. This phrase means that other prisoners were listening intently to Paul and Silas as they prayed and praised the Lord. They were amazed by what they were hearing. They were amazed by what they were hearing. Here were two men who had been severely beaten, carelessly thrown into the inner prison and fastened down in the stocks. Yet they are not mourning or groaning. They are praising their God in singing hymns, praise, and spiritual songs. And this is what we call powerful ministry. Powerful ministry. I find it very uncomfortable. When we are here, we see whatever goes on here. Because when you sit there, you see us. As we stand here, no two ways about it. When we also stand there, we see what goes on here. And at times, it's so disheartening. Some will come to church singing, they will not sing. The Lord be with you, mwe, they will not respond. This is the word of God, mwe, they will not respond. They will not even open the hymn book, but they are in worship. Beloved of the Lord, song ministration, praise and worship can heal someone. Someone just sitting beside you can heal that person. You can also heal yourself with song ministration. So what is the big deal? Who are you quarreling with? So you come to church and you don't sing. And I always say that anyone who hates singing is a devil. Maybe devil is too strong a word. It's a witch. Because how can you come to worship? We are in worship and you hate you singing. Beloved the Lord, song ministration heals. Song ministration encourages. Song ministration refreshes. It is power. You quite remember David and Saul. We are told that Saul, anytime he was attacked by an evil, they would call this young boy, David, and come and play the harp. And that's what. Power of praise and worship. And we are joking with it. We are joking with it. I'm not saying this to, first Sundays and what have you. No, we day born collection, we play the youth will be there playing the music and even if you will not dance, just throw your hands. But Steve, like the village headmaster. No, we will say that even if you are not comfortable with the hymn, join in the in humming. You are healing yourself. You are healing yourself. And this is what the two apostles did whilst in prison. They were hurt, you know. They were in pain, so. But in that state of hardship, in that state of difficulty, they sang praises. They worshiped the Lord. Beloved the Lord, as we join in concert, singing in church, we heal someone. If you don't know, you are healing someone. And you are healing yourself. Let me remind you that the lost world is watching. It's watching us. It's watching you. As we go through our prison experience, they're careless about us, where we are filled with joy and everything is going on well. But they are all eyes and ears When trouble comes, then they watch us. They watch us to see how we will react. When the pressure is placed on our lives, they want to see if our faith is real. If our faith is real, when we go into the prison house of suffering, I can testify that those who can praise the Lord in their trials, they have a powerful testimony. Powerful testimony. And their testimony says, my God is real. My God is real. When things are going well. And my God is real when everything falls apart. He is God as he is. And that is a powerful testimony. And it's the testimony that we should all strive to have in our lives. And that's what Psalm 84 verse 6 tells us. Psalm 84 verse 6 makes it clear to us that in our state of worry, in our state of predicament, we need to sing from our heart. So Psalm 84 verse 6 telling us something. As they pass through the valley of Baca, and Baca, when you talk of Baca, a place of trials, troubles, tribulations. As they pass through the place of Baca, they make it a place of springs. Springs! Joy! The autumn rains also cover it with pools. Why worry? Why torture yourself when there's a solution? So Jeremiah will tell the people of Israel, oh, you people of Israel, look at you. You've left the well of life and you've gone after broken wells. People of Israel, we've left the well of life and you've gone after broken wells. We have a well of life. We have a well of life. And why are we not rushing to this well of life? But we're going after broken wells. Broken wells. We move to verse 26 to 28. And it talks about prison, a place of majesty. Prison, a place of majesty. Beloved Lord, how will you respond in the prison of life? If something we should pay close attention to, it's not there. Many a time, God may have sent us there so that we could help someone else to see God, to see his sufficiency. So, beloved the Lord, for our last but one anavyosi for this year, I want us to notice how God used this prison to get glory to his name and to bring others to himself. So verse 26 talks about the majesty of God's power. Prison, the majesty of God's power. So verse 26 of Acts of the Apostles chapter 16. Suddenly, as they were singing, as they were singing and praising God, worshiping God, suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaking. The power of song ministration, it transforms. It can transform tremendously. And notice the language here. Suddenly, the foundations of the prison was shaken immediately. Beloved, this is the verse packed with action. All of a sudden, God moved in power. And one moment, all the prisoners were chained down. And the next moment, they were all set free. One moment, Things look bleak. But in the next moment, the power of the Lord. The power of the Lord changed the situation and things began to look better. So if you read Psalm 46, Psalm 46, the first two verses, a very popular psalm, it's so powerful. It says, God is our hope and strength. So God is our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in trouble. Ever-present help in trouble. You might think that he's not there, but he's there. Ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. In their state of trials, they were singing as they were making melody in their hearts. They experienced the power of God. You know, many a time when trials come, when tribulations come, we are tempted, you know, to reject our own self. We reject ourselves. Oh, why me? Oh, why me? Why should this happen? Why me? As a Christian, yes. No, as human as we are, fine. Naturally, that's how the whole thing begins. But it should not carry on. It should not tarry. Because God is our hope and strength. God is our hope and strength. A very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Whatever comes our way, we will not fear. Even the mountains can be removed, we will not fear. Because God of hosts is with us. This is very just a symbol. Beloved, the jailer was about to kill himself. He was about to kill himself because Roman law said that if a prisoner escaped, the jailer must suffer the penalty the prisoner would have suffered. I want to assure you this evening that whether you recognize this or not, whether you recognize this or not, the prison is a place of power. To the apostles, prison was a place of power. God, as you listen to his word, as you praise him in song and instruction, worship him in spirit and in truth, God is able to change your situation as he did for the apostles. You know, when you read John, God did something in the life of the apostles. John's Gospel chapter 6, 17 to 21. When you read John's Gospel chapter 6, 17 to 21, God did something tremendous in the life of the apostles. When they were frightened, they were in the boat and they were so frightened, they were scared. And they saw this figure walking, midnight, walking on the sea. And they were scared. Hey, it is a ghost. Who is this? And they were scared. They were terrified. And then Opemu said, "It is I. It is I. Take heart. It is I." Wherever Jesus appears, where there is darkness, darkness will give way to light. So, at the darkest hour of your life, just praise him. Call upon him through praise and worship. And he will turn this around in your life. That is the God we serve. This is no lie. Someone will say, this is no lie. Unless you've not experienced it. I pray that God will change your situation tonight as he did for Job, as he did for Paul. God will move in power, with power in your life. As you make praise and worship your anchor. God has a plan for us. God has a plan to set us free in a state of predicament. God knows about the horrors of your prison. The prison that you are in, God knows. And he knows how to set you free. All that he's saying is that song, praise and worship. No, you remember Anna in 1 Samuel. Anna in 1 Samuel. We're told that Penina, her rival, always insulting her. Barry woman, oh, Barry woman. Go and bring forth. Barry woman, oh, Barry woman. Always, every time. Always, Barry woman. Anna never quarreled with, never insulted her, never. They went to Shiloh. Again. Hey, Barry, oh, you brought this problem also here. We've traveled all the way to thank God. Is this festival? We brought this trouble also here. But Anna never said anything. If it were to be you, what will you do? Hey! Wahala. Wahala. But you see, instead of you know, quarreling with this lady, insulting her, she went to the temple of God. She went to the temple of God and fought with her knees. She fought with her knees. She recognized something special there. Let me go there and I'll find comfort. I'll find solace. So she went there. She knelt down. Not even the words not coming out. She sank. She praised, she worshiped from her heart of heart. From her heart of heart. And also for sitting there, thought she was drunk. Because of the festive mood. Hey, she was drunk. But she was pouring her heart out in praise and worship. Her heart. Praise and worship is from the heart. And God visited her. And God visited her through praise and worship. She went there praying, worshiping, and God visited her. God will visit you tonight. No, never underestimate the power of praise and worship. Never underestimate the power of praise and worship. God, the God we serve, has not forgotten about you. He knows where you are. He knows the pressure that you are going through. Beloved Lord, did you notice that even though they were free, they were still in prison? Did you notice that even though they were free, they were still in prison, still sitting there? Because if you are in prison and you are freed, you have to leave the prison. No. But they were still there, but we're freed. Beloved, God can, and will do that in your life. And let me explain this. Where God works in this way in our life, beloved the Lord, it is awesome. And you said that you've explained the awesome power of God. There are many people in prison, but they are happy because they have received Christ. You know, those of you who are involved in prison ministry, you know of what I'm talking about. You visit the prison, and you'll be surprised. No, somebody, very innocent, will tell you, I don't know the reason why I'm here. But that will not be a bother. The only thing is that someone has visited a prison and has brought Christ to them. And they've received Christ. So they are happy. So although in prison, they are happy. Because they've received something special.
Christ.
So although they were in prison, they were still happy. I've spoken to a lot of women going through divorce. They didn't like it. Not that they didn't like it. But they'll tell me, Osofo, I'm happy. I'm happy because I've come to accept it. I have inner peace, inner joy. Because, and then they will start quoting from scripture. That is what we're talking about. In that state of predicament, you are still happy. Because you have Jesus. Because you have something special. So don't think, many times that's what happens. Because we've not experienced something, in its entirety, we say that, nothing. Miracle has not happened in my life. But miracle always happens in our life. As we sit here, miracle, we are experiencing the God's miracle. As we sit down here. As I stand here to preach, I'm experiencing God's miracles. Because if God should hold, the breath just now, hold it, just for 30 seconds. Even the medical doctors who are here will also be struggling. Because they will not be able to come to our aid. So how many people who suffocate here and those who faint pass out. Just 30 seconds. So what we are expressing now is just God's sheer grace. So I go back again. Stop torturing yourself. Stop bothering yourself. That mental torture which will disfigure you. There's a solution. Paul and Silas, they are telling us this evening that there is a solution. Turn to some ministration. Whenever I visit people who are bereaved, and then I try to use the word of God to comfort and console them. Before leaving, I always say to them, anytime you feel like grieving, just take a hymn. Just hum. Just take a hymn and just hum the hymn. And the power of God, that grace, that serene, sweet power of God will calm you down. Will calm you down. That is the power in soul ministration, beloved Lord. Verses 26 and 28 talks about the majesty of God's providence. The majesty of God's providence. So we ask the question, why did God allow these men to go through this prison experience? Is it possible that God allowed Paul and Silas to be beaten, thrown into prison, and locked in the stocks? Just so he might use them in Philippi? Is it possible that God allowed them to endure all that pain and suffering just so God could get glory in Philippi? Is it possible that he saved a jailer and his family? Beloved of the Lord, if you look at the outcome of this event, you will see God using these two men to save the jailer and his family, to testify to the city officials, and to encourage the saints, and to teach them that God was greater than any prison. Our God is greater than any prison. Our God is greater than any problem that we have. Beloved, sometimes you may never get an answer to the whys of life. Sometimes you may never get an answer to the whys of life. But does it really matter? As long as God is honored and we are used as a vessel of honor for his glory, we have to be thankful to him. Beloved Lord, I want you to realize that even when life makes no sense at all, God has a purpose for everything. When life makes no sense at all, God has a purpose for everything. He allows things to work his own way in our life. And so Romans 8:28, and we know whenever we read Romans 8:28, we love this scripture so much, and we know, and so Paul is speaking here, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For we know, words of assurance, for we know. So Paul would say in Job chapter 19, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and draw after my skin. Worms destroy his body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. Words of affirmation, for I know. Against 2 Corinthians 4:15-17, another popular text, 2 Corinthians 4:15-17. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. Hallelujah. Words of comfort. Words of encouragement. So the guns will say, careful, don't buy a fire. Stop crying. Stop worrying. There's a solution. That's what Paul and Silas, that's what they are telling us tonight. That is the solution. It's your problem. Praise and worship him. Praise and worship him. You know, I always say this. When you read Revelation chapter 7, it says something there. And I saw people arrayed in white. And I asked, who are these? And these are those who have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And so they stand before the throne of grace, worshiping day and night, 24/7. And you say that, I've worshipped for some time now. We've worshipped in Accra Church, we've worshipped for years. I've been worshipping for years. If you've now also seen the Lord, you go away, like we are taking some leave. You go on leave. When it comes to worshiping God, you go on leave. No, beloved Lord, whether you like it or not, after this life, what we're going to do there is to worship, praise and worship. 24/7, you. So if you cannot rehearse it here now, no, you cannot do it here. You find it difficult, very difficult to worship here, to worship. Then know that after this life, that's what we're going to do there, whether you like it or not. So we have to be serious in our worship life. Very, very serious in our worship life. Because that's what we're going to do there. And Paul understands this truth. In Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, 19 to 22. Paul makes this wonderful statement. For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. He went on to say, he said what? I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted. Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Wonderful statement. I pray that the Lord will help us to come to know the truth, having looked at the theme, praise and worship, and the transformed life, so that we say with the psalmist in Psalm 46, 1 and 2, and verse 10. And I like the King James Version, although Psalm 46, 1 and 10, 1 and 2 and 10, we projected it using the NIV. No, the King James Version, the old King James Version, it says, God is our hope and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be moved, and though the hills be carried into the midst of the sea. Then he goes on, be still. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted among the nations. The Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He said, be still. You keep calm. The battle is not yours. Keep calm. Be still. The battle is not yours. The battle is mine. So be still. And you know that I am God. Beloved Lord, we need to fight under the banner of Jehovah Jireh. We need to fight under the banner of Jehovah Jireh. You fight your battle for you. Many a time we try to fight the battle ourselves. And you don't have the power. We are not wrestling against principalities and powers. No, we are the flesh and blood as we see. But principalities and powers. And we need the grace of God. We need to hide behind the banner of Christ. And let him fight for us. May the Lord fight your battle for you. May the Lord, in the power of his Holy Spirit, strengthen you in all aspects of your life. I pray that as we go through this wonderful topic, praise and worship, and the transformed life, the Lord will meet you at your point of need. Keep on praising him. Keep on worshiping him. Our God slumbers not. Our God is alive. And anyone who trusts in him will never, ever be put to shame. That's the God we serve. Shall we stand? To me, Yehovah Yakopondia, to me, Yehovah. If you are not active to stand with this seat, but you can stand, you can stand, you can stand. Yeho nyako bondia to me yeho be asafo yeho asa asafo yeho oduma nyako bo oduma oduma kuma nyako oyo ready to me. Yewo de dia to me yewo de asafo yewo asafo yewo oduma nyakubo oduma oduma kuma nyago ayara de to me yewo de dia. Onyami usaye ye, onyami usanda se, nyami guamba, o ebeye. Ye na bakezini ye. Oh, you are in a bank as in it. You are in a abange abange sini ye o ye wa eraba kesiri o ewa wo o ache yeso ye naba bagasini ye o o ye wa. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. Oh, Jesus, his sorrows. And listen. Woodina yangwa adoma se ma woodina yangwa oh ishira oh woodina adoma se ma Jesus woodina yangwa we say. Udina yawanga aduma sheuma oh dena oh oh dena yawanga oh aduma sheuma Yesu. Nyami tovo yebe yewode na. We are talking about praise and worship. Where's that transform life? Wodo ba wado te ye yebe ye wa ye. Oh nyami. Glorify him, glorify him, glorify him, exalt him, lift his name on high, exalt him, glorify him, exalt him, give him the glory that he alone deserves, give him the glory that he alone deserves. The finisher and perfecter of our faith, thank him, lift his name on high, lift his name on high, give him the glory. If you take stock of your life, right from January to now, look at what he's done for you. Right from January to now, it is by his grace, sheer grace. Give him the glory. Give him the glory. Give him the praise that he alone deserves for bringing you this far. For bringing you this far. It is the Lord that we serve. He will never forsake us. He will never leave us comfortless. Give him the praise. Give him the praise that he alone deserves. That is the God we serve. That is the God we serve. The hymn says, "Sad goodness, Lord, and constant care, I cannot repay. But may it be my daily prayer to serve you, to adore you, to glorify you." Let's bring our families before the throne of grace. Thank God for your family, your spouse, your children, your husband, your wife, your siblings, your nephews, your nieces, your parents if they are alive, your loved ones who are outside this country. Bring them before the throne of grace. Thank God for their lives. They need our prayers. They need our prayers. They need our prayers. Especially those who are not in this country. Beloved Lord, bring them before the throne of grace. Offer a faith-believing prayer in the name of Jesus. Offer a faith-believing prayer in the name of Jesus. Soak them. Soak them in that blood. Soak them in that blood. That blood that heals. That blood that sanctifies. That blood that refreshes. Bring your family. Bring them before the throne of grace. Cover them with the blood. Cover them. Cover them. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Cover them with your blood. With the blood of the Lamb. That blood that refreshes. That cleanses. That purifies. Beloved, we have been told, and we've read from the papers that a lot of people have been laid off. How are they going to celebrate Christmas? Christmas is supposed to be a joyous occasion. And this season is going to be a sour season for them. They've been laid off. Even 13th month salary have not been paid. And board of directors have resolved that we are not paying because things have not gone well. Beloved Lord, we are going to pray for God's comfort, for God's grace, for God's wonders to work in the life of these people. Let us pray. Bring them before the throne of grace. If you know anybody by name, mention that person's name. Pray for that person. Because this is a trying moments of one's life. And we need God's empowerment. We need God's comfort. We need God's grace to uphold these persons. To see them through. Successfully in his name. We are in prayer. If you cannot pray audibly, pray in the silence of your heart. Join in concert. Let's join in concert in prayer. The Lord is here. The Lord is here. And let's bring our economy for the throne of grace. It is God who can turn this country around. Let's bring our economy for the throne of grace. Let us ask the good Lord to place his wonderful hands. His hands of healing upon our nation. Our nation is sick. Let's pray the good Lord to place his hands upon our nation. Heal this land of ours. Bring the president before the throne of grace. The judiciary. The legislature. Bring them before the throne of grace. In faith, believing prayer. All those in authority in this land. Pray that God will wash their faces with the blood. With the blood. With the blood. To see things, spiritual things, to lead us. We need it. We need Christ-like direction. Christ-like direction in this country. And it's the blood of the Lamb that can wash. Wash faces. Wash faces for them to see things spiritual. We pray for the sick, the sorrowful, and the dying. The sick, Ebola patients, cholera patients, AIDS patients, anyone suffering from cancer, disease, and you are here, open your mouth, prophesy healing into your life. Any type of cancer, prophesy healing into your life. The Lord is able. You know anybody by name, mention that person's name. Inject that person with the blood. Inject that person with the blood of the Lamb. The Lord is able. By his stripes we are healed. The word of God tells us by his stripes we are healed. If you are here, you are feeling pains in any part of your body, prophesy into your life. Prophesy healing into your life. The Lord is able. Prophesy healing into your life. The Lord is able. We have barely 21 days to see the close of this year. Let us pray the good Lord to hold our hands. He knows the future. He holds the future. Let us pray the good Lord to hold our hands. Take us through this year successfully. Pray that nothing goes amiss in your life. Nothing goes amiss in the life of your family. The Lord, holding his almighty hands, will take us through this year successfully. We know what happens in this Yuletide period. We know what happens, the accidents on our roads, and all the social vices, the overcrowding. We know. Cover yourself, cover your family, cover your loved ones with the blood of the Lamb. Pray that the good Lord will take us safely through. We cross this journey in his name. He holds the future. He knows the future. He holds the future. He knows the future. Commit it into his hands. Commit your work into his hands. Whatever you are doing, whatever you are engaging, whatever he has blessed you with, no work is too small in his eyes. Whatever the Lord has blessed you with, commit it into his hands. Ask him to take absolute control. Ask him for direction. Ask him for fortitude. Your work. Bring it before the throne of grace. The Lord is here. The Spirit is moving. Holy Spirit, moving now. Hold again. Spirit, move over me. The Spirit is moving. The Spirit is moving. The Spirit is moving. The Spirit is moving. This place is charged. This place is charged. This place is charged. I say, Holy Spirit, moving on me. My life all again. Hey, Spirit, move over me. Do you have anything special in your heart? Do you have anything special in your heart? What is your song? What is your story? The Lord is here. Place it before the Lord. What is on your heart? What is your song? What is your story tonight? The Lord is here. He's able. He's able. Talk to him. He's your father. He's your mother. He's your father. He's your mother. Talk to him. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. I pray that you never leave this place. You leave this place refreshed with the power of the Holy Spirit. You never leave this the same. The same as you came. The Lord is here. The Lord is moving. His power is moving. The Lord is here. The Lord is here. He's ready to listen to your prayer. He's a prayer hearing God. He's a prayer answering God. Talk to him. Talk to him. The Lord is here. He's able. Yes, God is good in heaven sky, from ocean depths as breathing wood, oh, 10,000 voices seem to cry. God made them all, and God is good. 10,000 voices seem to cry. God made them all, and God is good. This God is so good. This God is so good. So what else do we need? A God who is so good, who is so caring, who is so loving. Thank him. Thank him for answered prayer. Thank him for answered prayer. Thank him. Thank the Lord for answered prayer. Thank him for answered prayer. He's so good. He's so good. Thank him. Thank him for answered prayer. 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 We are now going to sum up our prayer. We are now going to sum up our prayer with a hymn of affirmation. This hymn, you know, is a powerful hymn of affirmation. And that's going to affirm all that we've said, all that we've heard, all that we've prayed for. We're going to sing MHB 235. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that my Redeemer lives. And we're going to sing this hymn, you know, as by way, you know, just to affirm. To affirm all that we've said, all that we've prayed for. Go to us, let's affirm it. I know that my Redeemer is what God bless assurance gives. He lives, he lives. Who once was dead, he lives. My everlasting head, he lives to bless me with his love. He lives to plead for me above. He lives my angry soul to feed. He lives to help in time of hell. He lives and grants me daily breath. He lives and I shall conquer death. He lives my mansion to prepare. He lives to lead me safely there. He lives a glory to his name. He lives my Savior, still the same. Your joy, the bless assurance gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. Amen. God bless you. Please sit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Beloved, God willing, next week will be our last anniversary for this year. And we're going to have what we call anointing service. So we're going to anoint everybody for the Spirit of God to take us through successfully and make the coming year a blissful year for us. So we're going to anoint everyone. You know, anointing, when we talk of anointing, anointing is what, you know, the church of God, if I'm talking about the church of God, what God gave the church of God. No, but you know, in the Anglican tradition, no, the way we see anointing, we don't just administer anointing, haphazardly. Let me put it that way. So in the Anglican tradition, when a priest is to be ordained, he's anointed. Baptism, the candidate is anointed. Confirmation, they're anointed. Consecration of a bishop, the bishop is anointed. So we use, and then at special occasions, Pentecost, we anoint. And the Feast of St. Luke, the physician, we anoint. And we anoint with a special oil we call the oil of the chrism. The oil of the chrism is blessed only by the bishop once every year. I'm not qualified to bless as a priest to bless any oil. In the Anglican tradition, it's only the chief shepherd, the bishop, who blesses oil once every year. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, the start Thursday before Good Friday, we all assemble and the bishop will bless this oil. So if you are giving the oil and the oil is getting finished, you can add other oils. The potency is still there. That is the belief. But it's only the bishop who blesses this oil. And we call it the oil of chrism. It carries special grace. It carries special powers. It carries special protection. And that's what, by the grace of God, the Lord will use it to bless us to come next week. And next week, don't worry, we're going to close the same time in spite of the anointing. Next week, we're going to sum up with the most important question ever asked. The most important question ever asked. Ever asked. That Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, verse 30. So we're going to look at that question. Acts chapter 16, verse 30. What shall I do to be saved? So we use that to summarize all that we've said so far, and then we avail ourselves for the good Lord to bless us. Thank you.